Well, good morning, everyone. Interesting, we've been doing a sermon series on Jesus is the light of the world and how we, in Him, we move out of darkness into light. So today we're in the darkness a bit. So this is the last one of the series for Who is Jesus? So, I hope today's message will really... really bring together everything about who Jesus is for you. I want to know if you know this person. If you know a person who thinks or maybe prays like this. Jesus, I am the true vine. I want you, Jesus, to be my branch. Jesus, I pray that as you connect your life to me, you will help me bear the kind of fruit I think I ought to have. And in fact, Jesus, I've been praying for years that you would give me what I ought to have. I've seen it in others, and I see no reason why you ought not to give it to me. Because you are connected to me, Jesus, you have the power and authority to give it to me. I pray, Lord, that through this, my glory may be revealed to those around me. Whether it's Christians who see me as a spiritual champion, or culture who sees me as a cultural success. Both would be glorious. I pray that those around me would assist and bless me in this. Can you help me with this, Lord? I know, Lord, that through this, I will have joy. And I believe that joy will carry through to you. And that you would celebrate with my joy. I pray my will be done now in heaven as I think it ought to be on earth. And P.S. Lord, if you don't help me in this as you've connected your life to me, then I believe, Jesus, it's time I cut you off. It's simply not working out. Amen. Well, do you know someone like that? Someone who resembles that kind of life? Is that a glimpse of your life? We may not be praying so bluntly, but our hearts often think this way. Think about what is your most common prayer. What is the most common thing you pray for? What is it? Is Jesus challenging you today? Could it be that we want Jesus to give us glory and the kind of joy we think we ought to have, that we ought to deserve for our life? And are we simply that pathetic? I think we are. I think we are that pathetic. We are saying to the Creator God of the universe, the one who gives life to all things, the one that in Him there is no darkness, there is no sin, no evil, nothing. In Him there's pure light, pure holiness, goodness, righteousness. And we say to Jesus, we come to Him and say, Jesus, connect yourself to me. I'm the vine. And be my add-on spiritual accessory for life. Help me to achieve the desired fruit that I believe my life needs. And we have lists. More money, sex, glory, status, comfort, whatever it is. And so that the joy that I believe I need may be delivered to me. So that I can love life the way I dreamt it should be. I think at some points we come to Jesus like that. We still come to Jesus with that kind of heart's attitude. And we wonder why our hearts are troubled. We wonder why our life is frustrated. And we wonder why Jesus never answers our prayers. We wonder why we have no joy and find following Jesus awkward, hard. Because, you see, what's happened is we've got the vine and the branches around the wrong way. Today I want you to hear Jesus speak to you from John 15. In fact, I need my Bible. So, Roger, if you can grab my Bible. John 15. That'd be great, Roger. And we're going to see Jesus the vine. Thanks, mate. So we're going to look at John 15. We're going to see that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, okay? That Jesus is the source of life for our lives. He is the vine. And that we become what He wants us to be as we are the branches. And I think, like I said, we can get this around the wrong way. So Jesus wants you to hear Him speak. John believed that what Jesus had to say was important. He wrote it down. He took note of it. And so he wrote it down so we can experience the joy that comes through Jesus. So today I want you to be a bit like John. Try and remember what Jesus says. Record it. Bring it into your heart. What Jesus is saying is important. And often in the church, you can often think, as you're sitting there, gee, this would be a great sermon for my wife or the person next to me. And that may be true. But Jesus wants it to reach your heart. John wants you to know Jesus. Jesus wants you to know him. Okay, we're going to look at John 15, which I've got to find, which you probably already found, which is good. John 15, we're going to look at verse 1. Jesus said, I am the vine, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You know, here Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking to what God spoke about Israel, about what he'd spoken in the Old Testament. Israel was the vine that God took out of Egypt, that God planted his vine in the promised land, and he blessed it. He blessed it with everything possible for it to flourish and bear fruit. And through this glorious nation of Israel would shine among the nations. And we see glimpses of that in the Old Testament. We see glimpses of fruitfulness. But what we do see is mostly dead fruit. This is what God says to Israel in Isaiah chapter 5, which I've got to go to. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, God says to Israel, let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved has a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and he cleared it of stones and he planted it with choice vines, and he built a watchtower in the midst of it, and he hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, it did not yield. Why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I'll remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I'll break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. And it will also command the clouds that I will also command the clouds that they rain no more upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plantings. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. Woe to those who join house to house, who add their field to field, until there is no more room, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. So here's God talking about Israel being his vine. And Jesus is speaking, obviously, to Israelites, to the Jews. And here we see God gave them a blessing. And he gave them blessing upon blessing, but they failed. And they were cut off and sent into exile. And Jesus says, doesn't he, in John 15, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So Jesus is the one there who succeeded where Israel failed. Jesus shows us that with him is all the blessings. Where they failed, he succeeded. That he is, in fact, the true vine, the greater than Israel vine. In fact, he is the true Israel. Because what we need is something greater than just a national covenant. We need a spiritual covenant. And that's what Jesus talks about, doesn't he, in John 3. He spoke to Nicodemus. He said, you need to be born again. It's not about a natural birth, it's about a spiritual birth. And so Jesus is telling the disciples that he is that true Israel. He is the one. And then he tells the disciples that they are clean because of his word. He says this in John 15. And remember, we think about John 14, we spoke about last week, when we think about cleanness. And we think about how Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has prepared the place for us. That our destination is fixed. That he would prepare us a place by dying on the cross in our place. And we looked at that preparing, and we went through it and worked out it wasn't Jesus doing an interior decoration in heaven, it was him preparing a place by going to the cross. And as Jesus spoke these words to the 11 disciples, Judas has gone off, as Jonesy spoke in communion. After that point, Judas had gone. And Judas was one of the unclean branches that had been cut off, just as anyone who rejects Jesus is cut off. The Israelites were cut off. And Jesus says in verse 3 of John 15, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." So now that Jesus has made us clean, that we know that our internal destination is fixed, now that we know that our place has been given by God's grace on the cross, we can see that Jesus is that true vine, that he is our true source of life. And I want to see that's sort of our first point from this passage, that Jesus is the true vine. But then the second point is, how does that affect us? Who are we? How do we live? So Jesus talks about himself being the vine, and then he talks about us being the branches. Jesus turns our self-centeredness upside down. Like I said in that earlier prayer, we think life revolves around us. And we think that God and others are actually stealing life or not giving us the life. That's how we act. That's why we get frustrated with things. That's why we get angry. Because we're angry at God or angry at people around us because they haven't delivered the goods we want. Generally. But Jesus reminds us that he is the vine. And we are the branches. And we find our life in him. Verses 5 to 6 in John 15. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you cannot do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into fire and burned." Now, Jesus takes away all this idea of our own efforts. That in our own efforts, our own goodness, that we could do something for God. We cannot live apart from Jesus. See, Jesus used the illustration, a branch needs the rest of the vine to grow, to bear fruit. If the branch is removed, then the life that came from the vine is taken away. It withers and dies. The removed branch just fades away. It cannot live and bear fruit apart from the vine. It must be connected. It's the source of life. It's the sap of the vine. A branch must abide. The word abide means continually remain. Continually be connected. If we are to be the branch, then we are alive in Jesus. And we must stay closely connected to Jesus. This is very relational language. And like last week I mentioned that As Christians, we need to see our life often as tourists in our culture, in our world. We're not permanently here. But Jesus here, by abiding with Jesus, we're certainly not tourists to him. It's the complete opposite. We take up permanent residence with Jesus because he has taken up permanent residence in us. He has fixed our life permanently. And so Jesus is the one who grafts us in. He connects us to the true vine, which is him. We find our place as the branch. And that can be humbling. Because we do want to think it's in our own strength. We do want to think there's something good about us. But I think it's good to be a living branch rather than a dead branch. I don't know about you, but I think I'd rather be a living branch than a dead branch. You know, and I imagine that Jesus was walking through some vines when he was saying this. There was probably pruning season there. And they were probably cutting off these branches and piling them on the ground, all these useless dead branches, all ready to be burnt. Maybe they've seen smoke coming up from piles. But Jesus is saying, look, if you're connected to me, you're not going to be like that. Believing in me, you're connected to me who brings life, a living branch that will flow into you. I will flow into you. You know, everything of Jesus, all his DNA, all who he is, will flow into us, the branches, and bring fruit. You know, grape vines produce grapes. And Jesus, the vine, produces in us his characteristics. The vine brings us life that we need to become the branches he wants us to be. It's pretty simple language, but sometimes we miss it. So our second point is that we are the branches. But how do we live as branches? That's the third point. How do we live? We are to grow like Jesus, to be like him. If our life's connected to Jesus and is remaining in him, we will become like him. We grow. John 15, verse 7 to 10. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. As our lives abide in Jesus, they abide in his word. They abide in what Jesus teaches us, what he has to say. It describes a picture of Jesus and his word actively in us at work. We are creatures of the word. We study his word. We want to know him more. And it's like the power, it's like the fertilizer, it's like the ability to bear the fruit that comes from God. A branch wants to flourish through the vine. We ought to be that way, to flow, to let Jesus flow through us. And the commandments are what Jesus has spoken. They are the words that God the Father and Jesus the Son have spoken to each other. I'm going to read to you John 12, 49, because often we can misunderstand this. We don't see the passage before it. But John 12, 49 to 50, for I have spoken on, I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. So what Jesus has to say is what the Father has to say. It's his commandments, and they're eternal. They've existed within the Godhead himself. And this means that as we hear what Jesus says, as we hear what Jesus commands, we are branches that please God. We are branches that belong to God. The same love that abides in God eternally, that same love remains in us and abides in us. We become his people. Not because of how good we are, but because of the goodness of the vine, of the goodness of God, goodness of Christ. His love, his everything about him flows into our lives and we blossom. And we flourish with the same fruitful flavour as Christ. Now, it may seem really, really too good to be true. It may even seem somewhat impossible. But hear Jesus speak to us. Hear what he's saying in this passage. As a branch, if you ask, if you pray to Jesus for fruitfulness, God will give you the growth. Remember, without Jesus, you cannot do anything. But as a branch, you are connected to Jesus, you have life, you are connected to the vine. And God's eternal power is in you, the Spirit of God is in you. And the phrase there is, ask and it shall be done for you. And so often we get this off in thinking about other things, but it's actually connected to bearing fruit. It's bearing fruit for Jesus. Notice that what follows is that with this, God will be glorified. Jesus is talking about you and me bearing fruit. Us being pruned so we can grow bigger, tastier, righteous fruit for him. A life that resembles Jesus. It's not in us. It's not our strength. It's being connected to Jesus the vine. And what does that fruit look like? Well, Galatians 5 tells us the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to read them to you. Galatians 5, 22 to 25. Yep, it would help if I'm not on Ephesians. That's good. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Could it be that so often in our life, when we come to Jesus, in our prayer life, we are praying for the wrong things? We're praying for the wrong kind of fruit. Things less important than Jesus. I'm not saying you've probably got many things that are important, but I'm saying often we are praying for the lesser important things. The good things, not the great things. Jesus is more concerned about you being fruitful than whether you get that car or get that house. There's nothing wrong with praying for those things, but don't miss the point what Jesus is saying. Don't miss that. Could it be that you don't receive what you pray for because you never ask Jesus for what Jesus wants? That you don't ask, that you want Him to be more active in your life. And so your prayers are never answered because you're asking for the wrong things. Jesus answers prayer that bring glory to God, not you. God's will is that Jesus is in you bringing fruit. Bringing fruit. You're the branch. And the number one reason Jesus has you is so that you can produce fruit for Him. As He talks about at the end of John. That your works may be fruitful. Pray and ask that Jesus deal with the dead branches. Because Jesus will answer your prayer. He's eager to have you grow fruit for Him. You know, in Galatians 19-21, it talks about the fruit of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. You know, just in case, if you wanted to add a few in there. These are the things we need pruned in our lives. It's an ongoing act. It's an ongoing pruning. These are things we need prune as we belong to Christ. Ask Jesus to prune. Prune the sin. You know, it's interesting, the word prune actually means cleanse. To cleanse. But once again, could it be that we're asking for the wrong things? Could it be even with our own struggle with sin, we try and prune ourselves? Because we think we can do that. We think we have the ability and our strength. If only I will do better next time. How many times have you said that? If only I'll do better next time. Whose strength are you drawing on? And we fall and fail over and over again. Because Jesus says, no. You're not drawing it from the right source. I am the vine. You need to be connected to me. Maybe you're still struggling with sin today for many years. You feel that weight, that guilt and shame. Maybe some days you wonder if you're really in Christ. And hear Jesus speak. You can't do anything unless you're connected to Him. You can't do it without Him. Ask Jesus to prune you. Ask Jesus to deal with the sin. Have more of Jesus and His Word in you. Have His commandments in you. Listen to what Jesus has to say. Allow Him to prune those dead branches through His Word. And ask Jesus to bring fruitfulness to your life. We all need to pray this. And know this, that Jesus is eager to bring the growth. Do you know why? So that God's glory will be revealed in you. That's what He says. These things I've spoken... Sorry, he says it in verse 10. John 15, verse 10, I believe. Okay. No, it said it somewhere else. About His glory. Okay, you'll have to read that. But it's for the glory of God. I didn't actually write down that Bible verse. But it's for the glory of God that all our fruit is bearing itself on the branch. So God is glorified when we trust our lives to Jesus, when we bear fruit for Him, when we allow Him to prune our lives. Outwardly, people see God's glory at work. And Jesus spoke these things so we would have joy. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that you may have joy, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Did you hear what Jesus is saying? That Jesus wants to share His joy with you. The kind of joy, the kind of gladness, the happiness that you experience is because of Jesus. And He wants to share that with you. He wants it to be to the full. It's an eternal joy. that's been forever with God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so our third point is that God wants you to grow as fruitful, joyful branches that give Him the glory. And our fourth and final point is that we become a community of branches. The result of us being fruitful branches that depend on Jesus daily is something special. It's the church. It's God's people. A community of branches that points people to the vine, that reveal the love and righteousness of Jesus. Jesus says this in verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." So as we belong to Jesus the vine, the same love that was in Jesus will flow through and be in us. The same commandment that was eternal, that was expressive in God the Father, will be in us. And it's not simply individual, but it's community. It's a community of branches that belong to the vine. A community of people that love Jesus, who are fruitful in Jesus. And as they allow Jesus to prune them in their love, they flourish in Christ. Jesus loved us in such a way that He went to the cross for us. He died for our sins so that we would become the people who He wants us to be. You know, in essence, He selflessly loved us because we were so selfishly lovers of ourselves. The same self-sacrificing love is at work in us, in our churches, in our lives, in our marriages. Hard work. Hard work. But we are the branches. We are the branches that are connected to the vine. In Christ, in us, Christ is at work. And in this, we have nothing to boast about but Christ. You see, we are dead branches because of sin, but in love, God pursued us. He chose us so that we would bring glory to Him and we would do His fruitful works. What is Jesus teaching us today? Well, I think, firstly, our lives as branches should be directing people to the vine. So, He is our source of life. Direct other people to the source of life. You aren't the vine. So often we think that. So often we want people to depend on us. It's so easy for me as a pastor to get people to depend on me. No, no, no. Jesus is the vine. Even when you're discipling people, Jesus is the vine. You need to know who you are. You are the branch. Regardless of who you are at seed, where you are the branch. We are the branches. Our identity is connected to Jesus. Your purpose is His purpose to bear fruit. So this should humble us. We should know that there are areas of our lives that do need pruning. Ask God to prune those areas. If you ask Jesus, He will give it to you. He will prune those branches. He will bring you that fruit. So be branches that depend on Him in prayer. Pray for fruitfulness. Pray that you bear fruit for Him. Why? Because it brings glory to God. It's not about you, it's about God. I wonder when the last time it was when you prayed to God. Ask God to prune you so that you would grow to be more fruitful for Him. When was the last time you did that in all your prayer life? Now think about it. How many other prayers does Jesus have to say no to before He gets the ones He wants to say yes to? You know, I'll say yes to bearing the fruit and flourishing in me, the vine. See, I think maybe our problem is we don't ask. So therefore we don't receive. Or we're trying in our own strength. So easy to try on your own strength. I know, I've been there. I continually go there. I have to remind myself of what Jesus says. When was the last time you said to Jesus, "I am struggling in this area of my life. I know you are, know that as the branch I belong to you and I want to bear fruit for you. I know that apart from you I cannot do anything. Jesus, gracefully prune me. Holy Spirit, grow fruit in its place so that God may be glorified in me. And I know that through this I will experience a greater joy that is from you." a joy that's full and complete, that no other joy can match. Have you ever prayed like that? Maybe we don't want Jesus to prune us. Maybe we don't want to grow like Jesus. It's interesting that we think that way. We are most likely not even enjoying life when we think that way. We're getting frustrated with life when we think that way. We have no joy. Because we reject the vine, who is the only one who can bring us joy. How else can we live as branches? We can be creatures of the Word. Abide in the Word is allowing Jesus to prune us, to grow, to know Jesus more. It's very relational. Jesus is pruning us today as we hear this today. He's pruning our hearts. And don't simply think that Jesus, when he speaks about the commandments, is talking about the Ten Commandments. Look back at John 12:49 that we read. We've got to get the context of this. Don't miss this, that every word that Jesus is saying is important. Every word is a commandment from Jesus. Well, it's a commandment from the Father. That's what he's saying. We need to read his word and bear fruit from it. And also think that God is actually the gardener. So when we're also sharing the word, we must be cautious not to damage the vines. You know, think about a gardener. He has to be careful not to damage the tree when he's pruning it. So that way that the tree can both bear fruit and also get rid of the deadness. So there's buds for future growth. And as we share God's word with others, we're allowing Jesus to prune them. We're allowing Jesus to grow them. But we must be careful not to allow ourselves to damage those buds, that fruit that's already there. You know, Kath always says that she doesn't like me pruning stuff because I hack at things. And often when we share God's word, we can hack at it. We can hack at someone's life that when we try and prune them in our own strength, we destroy the buds that are there, want to grow and flourish. You know, be honest. I think we need to be honest about ourselves, that if you can't prune your own sin, how on earth can you prune someone else's? If you can't prune your own life, if Jesus is the only one who can do anything, that apart from him you can't do anything, how on earth are you going to do it with someone else? Let Jesus do his work. He is the gardener. The branches belong to him. Share God's word. Pray and let God do the work. And Jesus tells us that through this we will have joy. I want to conclude by asking the question, which kind of branch are you? Which kind of branch are you? The branch that's connected to Jesus, that's flourishing in his word. Your life is praying and seeing God pruning and growing you. Is that you? That your life is joyfully full in Christ. Don't think for a minute that it's because of your skills or how clever you are. Hear what Jesus says. Know that you have been chosen by him to bear that fruit. Know that it's only because you're connected to him that you can do anything. That should humble you. Know that it is Jesus who prunes you and grows you. So be humbled, because apart from Jesus, you cannot do anything. If you're bearing fruit, glory goes to God. Maybe you're the weathered branch. You know, there's fruit and life in you, but it's not flourishing. The fruit means you're connected to Jesus. But maybe your life is dry when it comes to God's word and prayer. And Jesus wants to call you today. Listen to what he says. Come and be nourished by him, the vine. Come and be nourished by his word. Pray to him. Ask him to prune you. Be in the word. Be creatures of the word and creatures of prayer. Trust him. Depend on him. Maybe your life doesn't seem to be any of those. Maybe your life doesn't believe in Jesus. Jesus describes your life as dead and disconnected, withering. A withering branch. You have no life. You bear no fruit. And you will find no lasting joy without Jesus the vine. Jesus invites you to be grafted in, into him the true vine. He invites you that he can bring life back to you, the dead branch. So that you can love as Jesus loves. So you can be in relationship with Jesus. We ask Jesus to graft you in if you're that person. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring life into you so you can grow the kind of fruit that Jesus wants. Because you don't want to end up as a dead branch on the pile being burnt. We want to find joy and life in Jesus. Maybe there's another one. Maybe you're sort of in the middle. You're the dangling loose branch that's just connected onto the vine, that's just got a bit of life in it. And maybe when the wind comes along, you feel insecure as a branch. The fruit is small, but you struggle really to enjoy life. You struggle to enjoy life in Christ. The good news is that you're still connected. Still connected to the vine. Even the smallest fruit is because of Jesus. But Jesus doesn't want you to stay there. That's not the kind of branch he wants. Allow Jesus to gracefully bind your life up. Bind and heal you back to the fullness of the vine so you're secure and nourished. Come back to him. Come back to his word. Don't tear yourself away from him. He's clinging on. He's pursuing in love you. Allow him to bind you up. Who is Jesus? He is the true vine. We need him. You all need him. I need him. We are his branches. I pray that you see that today. I pray and hope that Jesus spoke to you. Let's pray, and maybe there's something there that stirred your heart that you need to pray about to God. I just want to welcome you as I pray. Pray the prayer that God has on your heart, that you may grow and bear fruit for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just bringing us back to where we belong. Lord, we so often think it's in our own strength, Lord, and we so often think that we can overcome all these things on our own. But Lord, it's us being grafted into you, the true vine. And Lord, as we pray to you, Lord, as we pray for the fruitfulness that you want us to have, Lord, you answer those prayers. Lord, as you pray, as we pray for you to prune us, Lord, we pray because we want our lives to resemble you. We pray our lives that have joy in you, that we may experience life in you. And Lord, wherever we are, we pray that we be creatures of your word, that we would get into it, Lord, so we may flourish, Lord. We pray there will be people of prayer that come to you, depending on you, Lord, that we can do nothing without you. Help us to do this, Lord. Help us to be reminded of your words. We know not depend on ourselves, but depend on you. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, just going to have a coffee, or I don't know if we can have a coffee, or Daryl's got a coffee machine, so...